This is Matt Wells at UN News. Aid workers are usually sufficiently prepared to overcome whatever challenges they face. But what about a volcanic eruption? That's what happened to the UN Refugee Agency's team in Goma in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, when lava started pouring from Mount Nyiragongo on the 22nd of May. To talk about the experience from Goma, here's Jackie Keegan, head of the agency's office in the city, speaking to UN News' Daniel Johnson.
The government's last communication, the situation here, is that while the earthquakes have slowed and are now of less intensity, of lowered intensity, there remains movement of the magma underneath the city of Goma and a risk of a second eruption following the eruption of the 22nd of May. So the advice yesterday from the governor and the observatory was that large-scale movements do not yet start.
How many people are on the move from Goma?
The current estimate is about 430,000 people who fled Goma in the immediate aftermath of the eruption on the 22nd or the order to evacuate in the early morning of the 27th of May. There is a bit of movement. Some people are coming back to parts of Goma that are considered to be less dangerous, but there are still certainly hundreds of thousands of people in different parts of North Kivu and even northern South Kivu who have fled the threat that we're now facing.
There are 1.5 million people in Goma, however, and there is talk of a lava stream 2.5 miles beneath the surface of the city. So if they were to be evacuated, if they needed to flee, where would they go? Is there capacity to help them? And even for those who have already fled?
I've come back to Goma. I left with the first wave to help my colleagues set up a response in Sake. If those of us, the few of us who have come back to Goma, need to leave again, including the rest of the residents here, then we would need to go west to Sake and into South Kivu and probably the mountains north of Sake and Minova, where the majority of people are. Or indeed, we would need to go north to Rutshuru and the area north of Goma generally. Is there enough to help? No, there's never enough to help the people in need in the Kivus. Before this happened, there were already 450,000 people displaced just this year, joining more than 2 million already displaced. Some of those people had already been displaced for some time or multiple times. And we didn't have enough to do what we wanted to do there. So now we've doubled the number of people displaced just this year. And we desperately need the help to be able to serve their needs and the needs of the people who have generously taken them in, as well as the needs of those who are already displaced and who are currently being displaced by ongoing fighting in different parts of this province and its two neighbours.
Yes, there have been recent ADF attacks. There's conflicts and violence that's uprooted over 2 million people. And as you said, 450,000 this year alone. So that was what you were doing before the eruption. So who's looking after those displaced in the north?
We're all really trying very hard not to be drawn entirely to the response to the volcano. It's obviously difficult because we ourselves were essentially displaced by what's happened. But our colleagues in Beni town, UNHCR has an office in Beni, and we're preparing now that the road is open again to send up supplies there in order to help with construction of homes and other assistance in Beni and north of Beni and Wicha in response to the ADF problems. But we're also sending non-food items, including some shelter kits, but also blankets and so on to people who were displaced in and around Pinga and Masisi in the hinterland in here from Goma. So we're trying to get ourselves back on track in order to keep working with the communities that we were already working with before this event happened. We can't let the pace slow on that because they are really in dire need as well.
But have you got access to these 450,000 people? Where are they being sheltered?
They're scattered around North Kivu in different parts. There are multiple armed groups. There are as many as 122 armed groups recognized in North Kivu, South Kivu, and Ituri active. And then there are military operations against them as well as conflicts between them. So they're scattered around the province. There are several key operating areas in inland from Goma and from the Rwanda-Ugandan border. Most people are hosted in host families in the Congo, by far the majority. Those who are living in sites are often there for a very long period of time. So we're working with communities and local authorities to try to help the capacity really of locals to respond, because they are the first responders really. We're their support.
Yes, and you yourself have been displaced. I don't know if you were displaced from the 8 neighbourhoods in Goma, which had to be evacuated. Where are you talking to me from? Are you in a tent? Are you in a complex? What's the situation for you and your team at the moment in Goma?
My team in Goma is made up of me and one other person, and we are in the relatively safer area of Goma. We've come back since the initial flight. I accompanied my first operational team when Goma was being emptied. We went together to Sake, and indeed, I stayed in a tent with eight colleagues, and we tried to get a bit of sleep and to try and get some work started. We managed to get first tarpaulins and immediate items, and then we're starting to build supplies. We started that the day after we all got there. We got there on the night of the 27th, and the distribution started on the 28th in Sake. Another team arrived and is now in Rutshuru as of yesterday. So I came down to Goma in order to help coordinate both of those teams and to support them and also to connect with people in the rest of the province so that we're able to keep the work going, not only in those two hubs, but also in northern South Kivu, Minova and Kalehe. And then also, as we were saying before, in places where people have needed to flee violence caused by conflict.
It sounds like you need a lot more people than you appear to have on the ground, Jackie. And just quickly then, on to Sake, which is to the west of Goma, where a lot of people are based and where they're getting help. There is a massive cholera threat there, though, isn't there? So how are you managing to respond to that? And if I might just add on to that, bolt on quickly, what's been the biggest challenge and insight that you've learned from being displaced yourself and then trying to deal with an emergency?
Sake is one of many places in the eastern DRC where cholera is endemic. And we and others are trying. We have a relatively small water and sanitation program that accompanies our work in camps and sites. The Red Cross, UNICEF, others are working on trying to get water in much larger quantities to people. Another important problem is that the water system for Goma town itself was damaged in the volcano and earthquake of last weekend. So there's also work being done to try and improve that situation so that when people can come back, they don't come back to a dangerous situation or a more dangerous situation. You know, I was a lucky one. We ran away with a bag of stuff and we weren't quite sure where we were going to sleep that night. And so like everybody else, we had to knock on doors and we were lucky. We found the Guatemalan contingent of MONUSCO offers us a tent and we were very lucky to be there. And we felt
that's the UN peacekeepers, isn't it?
The UN peacekeepers helped us, yeah. And we felt lucky to be there, just as people who fled to, you know, the Catholic parishes or other churches and places of worship, schools, you know, we did what we could. One of my colleagues said to me that she actually left with her children. She said she had never properly understood the importance of child-friendly spaces to displacement situations, that it's a really important thing for children to be able to have space to go where they feel safe and where parents are safe leaving them so parents can deal with the logistics of being displaced. And I think we've all got, each of us, little lessons learned from our experiences, how important a warm blanket is. You know, it's we often feel we don't give enough, but those little things, in fact, end up being really big when you're wet and cold and the ground is shaking and you can still see the glow from the volcano. So we have a bit of sympathy, I think, for people in a way that maybe we didn't understand before.
That's interesting. And I guess among the lessons learned, when you look back on this, what's the disaster prevention measures that have been put in place to protect populations from this kind of event from happening? I mean, we have seen in 2002 a previous eruption, haven't we?
The problem is that since 2002, there have also been armed groups that have come into Goma. You know, this is a place that knows many hazards. And throughout the years, both government and international and national actors have attempted to grapple with what would be needed to prepare for another event like this. I have a list of the things we could do better, but I'm also aware of the fact that preparing for this, even 3 weeks ago, we would not have thought of all of the things that we've been confronted with this time. So we need to do better. We certainly need to do better, but I also think that we and the government and local authorities in reception places need to be a bit kind to ourselves in terms of saying, you know, we got some things right, we can get other things better next time, and we're just going to really work as hard as we can to overcome the challenges that people are facing right now.